Not one thing can we point to that God does for us because of our goodness. Not one thing. And that should liberate you, not depress you. Now, some people it depresses until they get in this for long enough, because what have I been doing all my life then? I've tried so hard. And you're telling me God is not, he's not blessed me because of what I've done? That's exactly what I'm saying. And so to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and to function in the gifts of the Spirit, you do it by the hearing of faith, not by the works of the law or by the works of the flesh. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and tell a testimony that my wife has, because she taught this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and just use her as an example. This is a good example. Last week, she made me massage her feet. If you weren't here, you don't know what I'm talking about. And so she said, okay, you're going to talk about my feet? Here they are. And so as a good husband, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, I did it. But Lisa grew up, and I'm not knocking these things, because I think one of the dumbest things that we can do in the body of Christ is criticize other believers. Because then we alienate them, and we alienate ourselves, and we close a door, and we burn a bridge that God never intended to be closed, and a bridge to be burned. Maybe the time isn't now to minister to them, but if you burn that bridge, you may never have that opportunity because of the impression you gave them. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? If we're truly people of grace, we ought to be people of grace to everyone. Amen. People of love, people of compassion, people of mercy. And so the church that Lisa grew up in, it was the Church of God. Have you ever heard of that church? Based in USA, Cleveland, Tennessee. And so anyway, I'm not dogging them, but this is what they used to teach is that you have to qualify for the Holy Spirit. And you have to have the deeper life first before God will give you the Holy Spirit. And so I don't know if you have that's kind of number one, that would put you in pride when you do get it, if you get it. And so what happened was that Lisa was trying so hard to get the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and she could never get it because she was told you have to qualify for the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have to teach truth from the Word of God, and that the only thing that qualifies you, and I think that's the first part, for the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the new birth. You must be born again. That's the only thing. If you're born again, you qualify. If some of you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and if you're born again, you qualify. And so sometimes I've noticed even people in charismatic churches that believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they don't understand the different truths about it. So when someone outside questions them, they don't really have a good answer. And so this outline will help you in that. So anyway, what happened with Lisa was that she fasted for 15 days to get the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And all she got was hungry. And so what happened? And I remember, I've talked to some of these people that come from this mentality, and it's slowly being broken down and changing. But I remember asking, okay, how do you get the Holy Spirit? Because, I mean, obviously I didn't agree. I'm trying to figure out what they believe. Well, you have to have the deeper life, okay? How do you get the deeper life? You have to have the Holy Spirit. It's like when I was in Russia. Because of all the visa laws and all these things, in order to get a residency, you know, if you own property, it would help you getting residency. I'm like, well, that's great. How can I become a resident? You must own property. How great, let's go, where can I buy property? Oh, you have to be a resident? You don't want me here, do you? Now think about that. If it takes the deeper life, or you have to qualify for the Holy Spirit, and what qualifies you is the Holy Spirit, I don't want to use rough language, but you're in trouble. So anyway, John 14:16-17 tells us that Jesus said he's going to give us the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So the world cannot have the Holy Spirit. If you're not in Christ, you can't have the Holy Spirit. Okay? So everyone doesn't have the Spirit of God, just those who are in Christ. That is not picking on anyone, that's just the truth. And of course you can read Titus 3, 4 through 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the Spirit, He's regenerated us and all those types of things. I don't want to go through every verse. Romans 10, 9, we all know that if we confess with our mouth that Christ, God raised him from the dead and believe in our heart, all those things, we know those verses, right? Matthew 16, 15 through 16, we know that portion of Scripture where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who doesn't believe will be condemned. Now, is baptism part of salvation? No. That's not what Jesus is saying. Or else he would have said, he who doesn't believe and is not baptized will be condemned. What he's saying is, when you believe, you have no problem following the Lord and being baptized. It's a result. It's a byproduct that you're changed in your heart. Amen. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is distinct from the new birth. I want to talk about this a little bit because I'm going to get into the anointing, because there's a lot of teaching on the anointing and there's some confusion about the anointing and things like that, because if to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, it's the anointing. Okay. And so anyway, just to finish Lisa's story, she had to leave Trinidad, her country, and she went to the USA in a Church of God church. And she was trying to be baptized in the Holy Spirit up at the front during one of the altar calls. And the pastor's wife of that church, they obviously they had a different revelation. And she came up to them and says, what are you striving for? Just receive it. It's a gift. And so that word gift just set her free. She said, a gift. And as soon as that happened, the Lord baptized her in the Holy Spirit. Do you know God wanted her to be filled long before she wanted to be filled? But he couldn't do it as long as she thought she was earning it. That should be something that could help some of you. Because sometimes we're believing God for something and we're trying to, maybe not as much as anymore, but maybe there's some people who have come here from somewhere else or you haven't been here very long. And because we know that a good Christian does these things and we've been taught for so long and in this world, we know that when you do right, you get blessed. And when you don't do right, you get in trouble. And so sometimes God wants to do so much in our lives, but he can't do it as long as we're looking to ourselves. Because he cannot reinforce a false system of belief. Does this make sense? Now think about that. If it takes Christ and what he did on the cross, if God were to bless you and say, oh, you've been a good boy, Sean. You prayed 12 hours today. You fasted all week and all this. Here, what is it you want? Then he'd be reinforcing that it's because of what I do that Jesus is able to bless me in all those things. Amen. And so if the new birth, you couldn't do anything to deserve it. You can't do anything to deserve being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you can't do anything to deserve walking in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. All right. So you can read that statement there. I'm not going to go through everything. But anyway, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the new birth experience. At the new birth, you do receive the Holy Spirit, but you do not receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit automatically. I want to look at something here because sometimes you're faced with someone and they'll ask you questions and you don't know how to answer. And they'll say, are you saying that I didn't get the Holy Spirit when I believed? Yeah, you did. When you get born again, you receive the Holy Spirit, the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. That's what Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says. But there's something else distinct there. But let's turn over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and let's look at verse 22. And Jesus is very confused if there's not an experience distinct from the new birth. Okay, so in John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus says this after he was raised from the dead, resurrected from the dead in his glorified body. It says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, now what is one of the conditions of being born again? You must believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and that he was raised from the dead. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if you believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. So these people knew that Jesus was raised from the dead. There it is right there, right? raise him from the dead, you will be saved. So these people at this point knew that he was raised from the dead. Jesus breathed into them that regenerated spirit. Remember when God created Adam, he breathed into Adam. And when Adam sinned, it broke that connection between the spirit. When Jesus breathed into their spirit, it created a place in there called the new man that's already been created in Christ Jesus. Put on the new man created in Christ Jesus according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. So let's look at this. I just want to say this real quick. Let's look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. And I want us to remember this verse. Luke 24, 49. And this is after he had already breathed on them. And he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Power. That's the anointing. That is the gifts of the Spirit. It may not be every single one of them, but I want to show some things here today that you don't have to go out and get gifts of the Holy Spirit. It was given to you when you were filled with the Holy Ghost. It's now what we need to do is recognize where God's gifted us and start functioning and flowing in those things. All we've talked about, one of the ways that we start to see things work in our life is by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father." The promise of his Father was the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And we can see this. I don't know if you can go through these verses and you'll see it. I don't know how far we're going to go. But let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I know some of you know these things. It's a little refresher here. Some of you may not know, maybe you've never seen this before. You believe these things, but didn't know why you believed them. I've noticed that a lot of times. But in Acts chapter 1, let's look at verse 4. And it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Now let's go on to verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus said he wants us to receive power, then we need to receive power. Now, don't fall into the trap where they say, "But Jesus was only speaking to them." If that's the case, then we also don't need to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. If that was only them. Does that make sense? We just sit down and enjoy. We don't go out and minister to people because it's not for us. He wasn't speaking to us. He was speaking to us. And I'll show you this. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, another portion of scripture here that I like to use to show that baptism of the Holy Spirit is distinct from the new birth. And this really works very well. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. I do that a lot, don't I? Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." All right? "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." Now, I don't know about you, but Philip was not one of the 11. So what's he doing being baptized in the Holy Ghost? We'll show you this. "And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." So what did he preach to them? Christ. You know what's amazing is that sometimes you'll turn on television and you'll hear people say, "Would you help me preach the gospel?" Say, "Yes, but I've never heard you preach it." Now, if you have a teaching ministry and you're teaching all these things, fine. But don't say, "Would you support me to preach the gospel?" when I haven't heard you preach the gospel. Preaching Christ to them. He didn't preach a self-help message. He preached Christ to them. And it says, "And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Now, folks, that's the gifts of the Spirit. See, it's all related here. And the reason why he had miracles was because he preached Christ. I have news for you. God isn't really looking to back you up. And if you can grab a hold of this, it'll take all the pressure off of you. He's looking to back up Christ. I don't know if we're going to get into this all the way, but Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit that he would testify of me. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Amen. But Jesus said the Holy Spirit would not speak of himself or of his own resources. Now that may shock some people, because Holy Spirit's God. That doesn't mean he had nothing, but the Holy Spirit is the servant, the comforter. He comes to glorify Jesus. So if we're not going to glorify Jesus, then there's nothing for the Holy Spirit to work with. Does this make sense? Right. So because he preached Christ, the Holy Spirit was able to work miracles. Folks, it is not the gift that works miracles. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that works miracles through us. And it's a gift, not to you, to this world. It's a gift to the church. Does this make sense? Not to get a little bit off topic, but God has called me to teach and preach. And it would do me no good. So many times when I minister, I can sense the Lord ministering to people through me. So, it would do me no good to have this gift and stay home and expect it to function. Does it make sense? The gift is for the body of Christ. It's for the church. It's for the world. And so many people, and I remember so many times when I first started preaching, because when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I can't explain it, but when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I guess because of my calling, immediately I started understanding scriptures. Whereas before, it was like reading, kind of like a storybook. Not that I didn't believe it wasn't true, but something changed. Now, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't feel anything. Now, some people do. The issue is not whether you do or whether you don't. That is not where we put our faith. But what I noticed was instantly, I started to understand Scripture and I could start teaching. And I remember the first time that I was supposed to teach was in Caris Bible College. I was a first-year student and everyone had to get up and speak for 10 minutes. I was scared because I didn't understand. We're just going to flow here, right? I may say some things here and we'll carry on in the next session. But I remember getting up to preach, and before, let me just say this about the gifts of the Spirit. They flow when you use them. Not before. I don't know if that makes sense to you. But I was waiting for a feeling before I got up to teach. But it wasn't until I got up to teach that it started to flow. Before, I was battling thoughts in my mind. Oh, I'm going to look stupid. People are going to laugh at me. All these things. But as soon as I got up to teach, they had to tell me to stop. And when I went to Russia, and we started that Bible school, I was only, I can't even remember now. Was I 28? 28 years old. Started a Bible school. Had a Bible school of 150 people. And I remember the first time I got up to teach, I was absolutely terrified. What am I doing? You know, the devil will do a number on you. He will tell you that you're going to look stupid, that who do you think you are? You think you're something special? All these kind of things will come and bombard your mind, but you have to fight through those things. You know, every now and then those feelings can come back, but because I've been doing this and because I know that when I get up to do what God's called me to do, because I'm doing it to minister to people, not to look good, I don't care about how I look. It's not about me. It's to minister life to people. And so if that is your motivation, it's to give life to people because you love God and you love people. If you would just get that, you love God and you love people, the gifts of the Spirit and everything that God wants to do will flow in your life. So I remember I got up to teach and it was like, what is this? I was terrified, but as I started to preach, boom, Can't explain it. And again, I had to stop. I remember Andrew telling a story that when he first started preaching, he made a decision that he would fast and pray for 15 days before each meeting. You know, he preaches sometimes over 40 times a week now. Folks, God is not going to flow through you because of how good you are. I remember when we went to Mexico as part of our mission trip when I was at CBC, Garris Bible College, and went on a mission trip to Mexico. And I remember being terrified. It was my turn to preach an open-air crusade. It wasn't big, but not a big, massive thing, but you'd go into a certain area of town and look, little borough, section of town that's very poor, and you'd go out during the day and you hand out some flyers, give candy to the kids, invited them to the little thing in the evening, probably in the parking lot next to one of the whatever, you know, and so maybe 20, 30, 40 people would show up, 50 people or whatever, and so, man, I was scared. And I remember thinking, God, how in the world can I expect you to use me? Because I was feeling like I haven't read the Bible enough. I haven't been praying enough. All these things. Because all those things are natural to the human mentality. We start to look to why God can or cannot use me. The sooner you stop looking to why God can or cannot will be when you start to see God able to move through your life and touch people more and more and more. So I remember going there, and I remember Lisa having to minister to me, saying, you're going to go and you're going to preach, and it's going to be good. Stop this. And I remember God using a portion of Scripture in Acts, and we're not even hitting the notes, but anyway. Acts chapter 3, how many of you know the story about the man laid at the gate from his mother's womb? How many know that? Remember that story, right? And Peter and John were going. Now this is really interesting because, see, before I went on a mission trip, I was at home and I was feeling sorry for myself one of those days because I was working full time, I was going to Bible school full time, and I wasn't spending the time with the Lord that I thought I needed to spend. And I started thinking, Lord, how could you ever use someone like me? You know, just normal way of thinking in the flesh. And I'm getting in the shower. I'm trying to read my Bible. Can't get into it. Close my Bible, I go to get in the shower, and God speaks one word, one little phrase to me, and he said, Acts chapter 3. I'm like, what? Get in the shower. Thinking about that. What had happened in Acts chapter 3? So I started thinking, well, Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. What does that mean they were going to go do? It means they hadn't prayed yet. This might dawn on some people soon. And when Peter's walking in, there's this guy begging. And what does Peter say? He says, hold on. We haven't prayed up yet. I'm going to go in there and pray and fast. Don't go nowhere. Isn't that how in the flesh sometimes we feel? Someone comes up to us with a problem. We're like, not yet. Now the truth is, if you're never in the Word, this is what I've discovered a long time ago. If you want to minister to somebody, you have to have the Word in your heart. Because that's all that can minister to someone. Life is the Word of God. Because it's life. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, John 6:63, they're life, they're spirit, and they're life. And it's good to go to Bible school, but you don't have to go to Bible school, but you have to have the Word in your heart. And so what did Peter say? He said, silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, see, he was acknowledging every good thing that was in him, in Christ Jesus. Remember in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, go and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what Peter was acting on. He said, what I do have, I give you. What did he have? Power. He had the anointing. He had the Holy Spirit. He had already been endued with power in Acts chapter 2. And I don't know about you, but in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people got born again. And in Acts chapter 2, they all baptized them. You know how long it takes to baptize 3,000 people in one day? They're probably baptizing at least 10 hours. You know how exhausted Peter and John were? John probably came to Peter and said, "Peter, God, I'm worn out, man. You remember how Jesus used to get so tired and he'd go off and pray? I think we need to do that. Just start praying. Be in the presence of God." It's about being in the presence of God. It's not about your calisthenics. It's about being in the presence of God. So I think they were going to go pray. But he wasn't looking to that. He said, "This, what I have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And we know the rest of the story. Amen. Now, very powerful thing is the rest of this verse in Acts chapter 3. Because Lisa reminded me of that. You know, be careful who you tell your revelations to. They'll bring them up when you forget. Didn't you go through this before, Sean? What did God say in Acts chapter 3 when I'm in Mexico? So you know what I did? I went back and read it, and I got even more the second time. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 9 says, "So he leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God." And some of you say, what does all this testimony have to do with the baptism, Holy Ghost, and the gifts of the Spirit? Everything. Because it's not difficult if we get our minds renewed as to God flows through us to minister to people when we let him. It's called a gift. Not a work of the Holy Spirit, a gift of the Holy Spirit. You cannot earn a gift or it's not a gift. And so we know the story. Peter and John, Peter says, "Get up in the name of Jesus." And what happens? He gets up. And look at verse 9. This is what stops a lot of people. And this is what stopped me for a long time until to the point I didn't care anymore. Verse 9 says, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God." In other words, he didn't do this in a corner. He did this right in front of everybody. And so that's what stops a lot of us is, what if I do something and it doesn't work and then I look foolish? That'll stop a lot of people. Now look at verse 11. It says, "Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people." This is one of my favorite verses, folks. When Peter saw it, he saw what? That they were amazed. "When Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?' That set me free." You know what your own godliness is? It is what you look to as to why something can or can't happen. God can use me today because I just prayed for 10 hours today. Certainly, God can use me today. You know, some of my best messages are the ones that I didn't have any time to think about. Walk in, "Hey, Sean, you're preaching." "What? Okay. See, I don't care anymore." "Okay, no problem. Let's go." Because I know it's not me. You know, you can over-prepare, if you're a preacher, over-prepare a message and not leave room for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants. But that set me free. So what was it, if it wasn't God using Peter and John's godliness? Now think about this, because for so long we've heard, "You want to be used for God? You got to fast." And they, you know, they're breathing, maybe not here so much, but some of those preachers on television, they can really go sometimes, eh? Look at verse 16. He tells them why this happened. He said, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So that's, we have to get to the place where we, when we are born again and we're baptized in the Holy Spirit and we know what our giftings are, we have to trust that when we do what God told us to do, which is trust him, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. So if I go out and I preach the gospel, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it because I love God and I want people to receive this awesome thing called Jesus. Person. I didn't mean thing. You know what I mean. And so when I do that and I'm preaching the message, God is more than willing to do what he said he would do. That's good news. But to get back to Acts chapter 8, we kind of got off on that. Acts chapter 8 said, Philip was preaching Christ, and multitudes heeded the things spoken by him, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, verse 7, came out, and many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now look down to verse 12. It says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So, according to what Jesus said in Mark 16, verses 15 through 16, he said, go and preach the gospel, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Were these people saved according to Scripture? Were they? Yes. But let's go down to same chapter. Verse 14 says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So here we see, they got born again, and then they got filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is for every single person, folks. I don't have time to go in that today. I don't want to go. We ran out of time. But the promise of the Father is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it is for everyone. You can read that there, and it'll show you. Amen.